you for this morning. We thank you for the ministry of your Spirit, the move of your Spirit. We thank you for everything received in prayers. We ask and receive revelation in the knowledge of your word, in the knowledge of your person and your work as we look through the pages of the scriptures. We ask that you will breathe inside revelatory knowledge on us. You will cause us to be informed afresh. You will cause us to acknowledge the things that we have in common, to the end that our faith becomes much more effectual. You will cause questions on minds to be answered. You will cause gray areas to be straightened out. We ask for instructions of your Spirit, and that our minds will be instructed. We ask for clarity, that our hearts will receive clarity in your will and your work. We will receive assurance and insight as touching our light and privileges in your name, to the end that we will walk in them much more, and your name will be glorified in our walk. This we ask and receive in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right. So give me some 2 hours this morning. Are we together? Are we together? Ephesians and chapter 6, we're building on what we have been looking at in the 4th sessions of our Sunday meetings. We're looking at the believer's authority. Ephesians in chapter 6, and from Joshua chapter 1, verse 6 and 10. 8 rather. In Ephesians chapter 6, in verse 10, Paul writes, he says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might." Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. In Joshua chapter 1 and then in verse 6, he says, "Be strong and of good courage, for unto these people thou shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from me to the right, nor to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest." Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. So we see in verse 6, it says, "Be strong and of good courage." In verse 7, it says, "Only be thou strong and very courageous." Hallelujah. Only be thou strong and very courageous. Someone says strong and very courageous. Someone says strong and very courageous. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and then verse 1, it says, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." The word grace there means a supply, and a bountiful one at that. Be strong in the bounty, in the surplus, hallelujah, in the wealth, in the free giving, hallelujah, in the lavishing, amen, that is in Christ Jesus. So if in Ephesians 6 and 10, being a text we have been exploring, the believer's authority, it says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord." Hallelujah. So we're just going to build on where we stopped the last time. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. You know, Paul uses the word endunamu. We say that. Endunamu. E-N-D-U-N-A-M-O-O. We saw some texts where that word was used. Was used 9 times in 8 verses. Very first time was used, New Testament books would be in Acts chapter 9. In verse 22 was used 2 times for Paul. How Paul worked strong, hallelujah, upon opposition and the negative response of people to the gospel. He says he worked strong, hallelujah. Romans 4 and 20, we saw that again. Ephesians 6:10 being our text, Philippians 4:13, hallelujah. Through Christ that strengthens me, hallelujah. 1 Timothy 1 and 12, amen. I said amen. He says, "But the Lord strengthened me." 2 Timothy 2, 1 and 4, verse 17. Hebrews 11, 34. They work strong through faith. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Then he spoke about, in Romans 4, I mentioned Romans 4 concerning Abraham in verse 20. He says, "Abraham did not stagger in unbelief." Hallelujah. He works bold. Hallelujah. In faith. So that word, we said, implies what you do. You take upon yourself the strength of God. So I had said that there is that which was supplied to the believer in Christ. There is that which was made available to the man in Christ in Christ. There is that which is made available to the man in Christ as and by the supply of the Holy Ghost in Christ. Paul in Ephesians 6:10 did not mention what he had mentioned until he had first of all taught in Ephesians 1:3 of the blessedness of the man in Christ, the spiritual blessings. We call it the blessings of the Spirit. Hallelujah. The word pneumaticos. We have explored that word, that terminology, across different texts in our past sessions. One of the things we saw is conclusively in verse 13 that the blessedness of the Spirit is the Spirit of God Himself in the believer. The blessings of the Spirit, hallelujah, summarizes, culminates, hallelujah, into or as the indwelling of the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God in a man is the fullness of the blessings of the Spirit in that man. Or the fullness of the blessings of the Spirit. Leave it at that. The indwelling of the Spirit in a man is the fullness of the blessings of the Spirit. Hallelujah. So Paul uses the word endunamo, which means to put on strength. Say, I put on strength. So the strength of God in Christ is to be put on. You put it on like a garment. You put it on like an armor. You put on strength. The believer has been strengthened of God. Ephesians 1:18, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened that you might know the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who do believe, according to the working of his mighty power which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead, set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, in every name that is named, not only in this world but also in that which is to come, and has given him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that fills all in all, that is you. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. So he says the believer has the inward working of the power of God. The believer has the inward working of the power of God. And when he says that, he now says, hallelujah, that by that power, God will grant you to be strengthened in the inner man. Hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 3, and then in verse 16 down to 18. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. In verse 16, Ephesians 3:16. He says, he will grant you to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. He explains that in 17 as a solid assurance of Christ in your heart. A conviction of Christ in your heart. The conviction of his love. Hallelujah. He says you will be rooted and grounded in it. He says you will be able to comprehend with all the saints the length, the breadth, the depth, the height of the love of Christ. He says with perfect knowledge. He says with perfect knowledge. Hence, he says unto him that is able to do abundantly above all that we ask or think. All that we ask or think is what he refers to as knowledge. So he says unto him that is able. I explained that to you. It should be translated as unto him that has been able. Unto him that has been able to do abundantly above all. Because he is talking about the power of God deployed in the resurrection of Jesus, which he explained in chapter 2 verse 6, that we were also included in that resurrection. We are also partakers of that resurrection. So in Ephesians 1:19, the exceeding greatness of his power to us who do believe, he says, according to the working of his mighty power which he wrought in Christ when he raised from the dead. So the working of God's mighty power
that went into raising Christ from the dead, he says is at work to us words too. Hallelujah. How? In that chapter 2 verse 6, he raised us up together with Christ. So the believer is triumphant over death. Just like he said in verse 20. He says he raised him up from the dead, set him at his own right hand. He now says in that place he is far above all principality. So even 2 verse 6, he says he has raised us up together with him. That means the believer is also far above principality. That means the man in Christ is also far above all power. That means he is far above might. Hallelujah. Which is not the might of God, but is far above might. In the might of God, through the might of God, he is above every other thing called might. Hallelujah. Through the might of God, the believer is above every other thing perceived as might. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. So he says in 2 verse 6 that he has raised us up together. In verse 4, he calls it the great love. And the word great love is explained as the richness of God in that same verse 4 of his mercy. So rich in mercy is the same as great love. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. So he says in chapter 3 that you will be assured of that love. In verse 16 and 17 and 18. Hallelujah. And even 19. He says that love is the power of God in the resurrection, hallelujah, will fully dwell in your mind. That power already reside in the believer, in your spirit. Let me put it that way. But it says in your mind, you will gain an assurance. In your mind, you will gain a stability. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. That means in my mind, there will be stability in that power. So he says, he will grant you to be strengthened by his spirit in the inner man. Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. He will grant you according to the riches. Glory to God forevermore. According to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man. Hallelujah. He says that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. He's not asking Jesus to come and dwell in you. Christ already dwells in you. But he's saying this knowledge is that in your mind, you will now have the assurance of that indwelling. Hallelujah. The believer will now have the assurance of that indwelling. And that is part of what we call putting on that power. Endunamo. Putting on the strength of God. So we began to see the activities of that strength. And one of the things we saw is that the activities of that strength revolves around the work of the gospel. Because, you see, the gospel is what we do. Hallelujah. We don't fight people. Amen. Rather, we are fighters in and by the gospel. We are warriors in and by the gospel. The same way Israel fought wars. There is a war for us to fight today in our world and age. Hallelujah. The same way Israel was Christ's servants, sons of God, hallelujah, or were to be sons of God, Christ. The same way we are found as Christ's servants today, still fighting his war. So the war is God's war, we have said that. So he says our wars are not in the flesh. We saw certain words, I will just go over them briefly. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. For example, we saw the word contend in Jude verse 3. We saw the word in James 7, warfare, conflict, wars. 1 Peter 5 and 8, we saw words like resist. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. In Philippians 1 and 30, we saw words like conflict. The word agon, which implies a fight. We saw that. A struggle. In 1 Corinthians 9:26, we saw words like fight. The word poktio, I've given you that word. P-U-K-T-E-O, poktio. Which is used for contend, to contend. It's used for to box. Like what a boxer does. Hallelujah. We saw words like 2 Timothy 2 verse 5, the word strive, which is the word atleo, from the word athlete. Again, it deals with like to compete, as in contention, or to contend, hallelujah. We saw the word strive, hallelujah. In Romans 15:30, the word agonizomai. When Paul says, strive together with me, soon agonizomai. In 15:20, we saw the word labor. The word philotimiomai. We've seen that word. Colossians 1 and 21. Colossians 4 verse 12. Labor. Hallelujah. Labor. The word agonizomai. And then we saw quite a number of words. Glory to God forevermore. Explaining the activity of the strength of God. What you do by yourself. What gets because you participated positively in it? What gets done because you participated positively in it? Hallelujah. Paul was resisted. Then we see how that he was strong. I gave you that word. And I told you how that word was strong is an Holy Ghost activity. An Holy Ghost activity, hallelujah, which implies, like I said earlier, to take a stand for the gospel, the activities of that strength. And you see, I've told you severally that the New Testament books explains the Old Testament books to us. So, for example, in 1 Corinthians, the text we've seen, let's look at our text again. In 1 Corinthians 9 and 26 and 27. 1 Corinthians 9 verse 26 and 27. Look at what it says. He says, I therefore so run, not as uncertainty, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by enemies, when I have preached to others, I myself should be cast away. He says, I keep under my body. So the fight I, in verse 26, he says, is by me keeping under what? My body. The word fight, which means to box. Look at this. That means one of the things we'll fight in the New Testament, let me put it that way, in the ministry of the gospel today, our fight, hallelujah, includes the fight with our desires. Hallelujah. My fight in the ministry of the gospel today includes my fight with, or a fight with, my desires. So I say my desires. So one example of a New Testament fight, let me put it that way. New Testament fight. Hallelujah. It is right whichever way. Amen. One of the examples of the New Testament fight is to fight my desires. Hallelujah. To fight my desires, affections, which might turn out to want to be an hindrance to the gospel, the ministry of the gospel, the assignment of the gospel, the will of God. You see, the will of God in the life of a believer revolves around the ministry of the gospel. When we say the will of God, we are talking about how decisions, outcomes, hallelujah, trends, events around you are channeled and placed out around the preaching of the gospel. The preaching of the gospel is that central focus that explains, qualifies, or disqualifies what we can say is the will of God or not. So many times they be to establish what is right and wrong in the will of God. The ministry of the gospel becomes like a focal point. It becomes a light that makes sense, that makes other things to make sense. It becomes the light under which every other thing is judged. Are we together? It becomes like a litmus test for every other thing in a man's life. That is why the moment a man is not even born again, in other words, he has not received the gospel, such a man has not even started, or is not even anywhere near the will of God for his life. Are we together? Are we together? The will of God will be for men to be saved and to begin to take responsibility as they develop in salvation. That is the will of God. So the preaching of the gospel, my desires that affects directly or indirectly the preaching of the gospel, those my desires is what, hallelujah, one of the examples of that warfare. My desires that affect directly or indirectly the gospel. My desires that affect directly or indirectly the gospel. Desires that has effect on how properly I can preach the gospel, how properly I can take responsibility in the ministry of the gospel. Those desires are now put in check, allowed or disallowed. Hallelujah. So the allowing or disallowing of those desires, again, is what the apostles explained as a fight. Glory to God forevermore. I say glory to God forevermore. It's what the apostles explained as what? An example of the fight. So we see that example, my desire. One of the examples. In 1 Timothy 6:12, it says, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. Fight the good fight of faith. In 1 Timothy 6:12, the fight yet deals with faithfulness. The good fight of faithfulness. Better translated. The good fight of faithfulness. Again, it means, it tells Timothy how he will maintain the confession of the gospel in the midst of false teachers and false teachings. Maintain the confession of the gospel. Maintain the training and the message of the gospel in the midst of distractions. In the midst of false teachings and their teachers. It says, maintaining the confession, the message, the focus, the intent, the essence, the significance, the peculiarity in the message, the training in the message. Maintaining all that the faith means in the midst of other options, which are no viable options, it says, is an example, again, another example of what? Of the fight. It Sticking to the message are means for teachings. Preaching the message, no matter how boring it sounds, and it is boring, depending on what you are used to. Some say, "Oh, truth is bitter." No, truth is not bitter. It depends on the kind of taste bud you have. Are we together? Are we together? So it says, maintaining the tenets of the gospel in the midst of false ones, it says, is another example of the fight. Fight the good fight of faith. In 2 Timothy 4:7, it says, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. The same thing. The preaching of the gospel, the keeping of the faith, ensuring that in your time, hallelujah, the gospel did not die. Ensuring that in your vicinity, the word of God has a free course. Ensuring that in your city, the voice of the gospel is the loudest. Ensuring that in your nation, the ministry of the gospel, are we together, has the greatest endorsement. Ensuring that as much as it lies with you, in your time, in your campus, the preaching of the gospel is not reduced. The flames of the gospel does not go down. Hallelujah. Ensuring that in my lifetime, there remains a voice consistently putting out the word, keeping the faith, ensuring that through my teaching and preaching and devotion to the ministry of the gospel, falsehood was sent back to hell. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Paul says it's one of the fights in the New Testament. So you observe, it's not a fight against witches and wizards. No. You observe, it's not a fight against men, people. You observe, it's not a fight because of money. You will observe that it is not a fight because of an earthly possession. You will observe, it's not a fight for a land. You will observe, it's not contending merely, a mere contention for material resources. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. You will observe that it's not a fight via campaigns for anti-AIDS, anti-this or that, but a fight by the preaching of the gospel. Hallelujah. A fight by the preaching of what? Of the gospel. Someone say a fight. Someone say a fight. Someone say a fight by the preaching of the gospel. Someone say a fight by the preaching of the gospel of Christ. Hallelujah. He says, I have fought a good fight. The word agon, which means to keep the faith. What is the activities of keeping the faith? Look at verse 2. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with long-suffering and doctrine. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. It says, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts, they shall heap up to themselves teachers, having itchy ears.
They shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. Verse 5, but watch thou in all things, in all these things, endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Make full proof of thy what? Thy ministry. Then he says, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at. I have fought a good fight. So, I have fought a good fight refers to verse 2 down to verse 5.
Hallelujah.
When he says, I have finished my course, it refers to verse 6. Praise the Lord forevermore. I said, praise the Lord forevermore. So, he tells you and I that the preaching of the gospel is a fight. In James chapter 4 and verse 17, a text that we have seen. James 4:17, it says in verse 16, but now you rejoice in your boastings. Also, rejoice in James 4, verse 17. No, verse 7. Hallelujah. It says, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he shall flee from you. The word resist. Resist. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Resist. Resist. Machia. M-A-C-H-E-A. Used for quarrels. In 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 5. Second Corinthians 7 verse 5. It says, for when we were coming to Macedonia, our flesh had no rest, but we were troubled on every side without fightings. We did fear. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. When it says without fightings, it didn't say without fightings. It says without were fightings. Hallelujah. In other words, he's talking about the labor and the sacrifices that preaching the gospel entailed. He called it fightings. Fightings. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. 2 Timothy 2 verse 23. It says, but fleeing and unlearned questions avoid. They do gender strifes. It's a negative. It's a quarrel. In Titus 3 and 9, it says, but avoid foolish questions and genealogies and contentions and strivings about the law, for they are profitable, unprofitable, and vain. So this is negative again. Hallelujah. But in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, chapter 7 rather, in verse 5, it says, fightings. In Philippians chapter 1, verse 30. So we're still looking at the activities of that strength. Fightings. 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 Hallelujah. Putting my desires to check. I have a desire to live in this kind of place. But because of the gospel. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. I have to live in this kind of environment. And then you put that desire to check. He says you're a good soldier. Oh, I would have loved to marry so and so kind of a person. But because of the ministry and assignment of the gospel in your hands, hallelujah. I said hallelujah. It now affects the kind of decisions you make. You now put that kind of desire to check. Hallelujah. To ensure that your choice is one that leads to the furtherance of the gospel. He says you're a good soldier. And you observe that the war is not a one-time war. It's a consistent warfare. You keep fighting desires. Because new desires will keep arising. You keep putting it in check. You keep putting it in control by the strength of God. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Oh, I have a desire to do this kind of work. I would have loved to be in this part of the world. But because of the commitment to the flock of God, the preaching of the gospel, and discipling men, hallelujah, in the location instructed you, you now have to abide in that location. And then you put the other desire in check. Hallelujah. So the putting in check of this desire is for productivity in the will of God. Hallelujah. So he says, you're a good soldier. Fight. So on that list, found on the list of the warfare or the things you fight, are your personal appetites and desires. My personal appetite and desires, I put it in check. For the furtherance of the gospel, I put it in check. For the edification of the church, I put it in check. For the establishment of souls, I put it in check. For the outreaching of certain people, so that certain people can be reached. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. So I put those desires in check. Are we together? Are we together? I put those ambitions in check. Are we together? Are we together? I put those dreams under control. I would rather have this delayed, that this be established, or forgone at all, and this be established, than lose out on the gospel and claim to have a meaningful life. And Paul calls that a warfare. The Spirit of God refers to that as a what? As a fight. As a warfare. Philippians 1 and 30. He says, having the same conflict which you saw in me and now here to be in me. Conflict there will refer to putting up with inconveniences. In this context, it also deep persecution. Hallelujah. Because you see in verse 29, it says, unto you it is given on behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but to suffer. The word suffer there means to give room. That is to allow Christ to occupy your room. I allow Christ to occupy my time. The activities called Christ, hallelujah. The activities called Christ to occupy my life. That means I will give years over to the preaching of the gospel. That means I will give resources over to the preaching of the gospel. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Where I have confirmed my choice, my life, and my decisions upon God. So I give room for Jesus. Say, I give room for Jesus. Hallelujah. Say, I give room for Jesus. That's it. So I give room. I give room. Hallelujah. I create space for him. I create space where he fills the entire house. I allow him. Hallelujah. It says, not only to believe on him, but also to allow. To give room for his sake. For his sake there refers to the ministry of the gospel. Without saying too much. So he speaks of verse 30. He says, having the same conflict which you saw in me. Hallelujah. And now here to be in me. The same thing. So he deals with warfare here. He speaks of persecution. He says, which you see in me. Again, it's about the preaching of the gospel. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. And then in verse 2. We observe Paul again use that word contention, activities of that strength. Let there be no distractions, please. Hallelujah. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, and then in verse 2. He says, verse 1, for yourselves, brethren, know our entrance in unto you, that it was not vain. But after that, he says, but even after that we had suffered before, and were shamefully entreated, as you know, at Philippi. We were bold, hallelujah, in our God to speak unto you the gospel of God with much contention. Did you see that? He says, I'll take it again. But even after we had suffered before and were shamefully entreated, by the time you look at Acts 16, 17, you see this history. As you know, at Philippi, He says we were bold. Hallelujah. In our God. To speak unto you the gospel of God with much contention. So the contention there is a much contention. Again, has to do with being strong. Being strong. In Colossians 2 verse 1. For I would that you knew what great conflict I have for you. And for them that are Laodicea. And as for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh. So people that have not seen your face in the flesh, people that have not seen Paul's face, could feel the impact of his sacrifice. The impact of labor. He says much contention, much affliction. He speaks of labor, rigor, unfavorable events and times. He speaks of sacrifice. I told you on Thursday that work is that which takes your energy. It is not work when power or energy is not dissipated. It is not work when energy is not exchanged. Hallelujah, church. I said hallelujah. It is not work when energy is not what? Exchanged. It is not work. It is work because power was transmitted. Energy has been dissipated. And when there is work, it will not be all cold. There will be heat. Is that true? Is that true? There will be heat. When there is work, there will be friction. There will be heat. There will be energy. Hallelujah. That means energy has gone for it. Amen. Amen. I said amen. Many times there will be noise. Are we together? Are we together? Are we together? Uh-huh. So he says conflict. A great conflict which I have for you and for them at Laodicea. So that was Paul's manner. In the work of the ministry, conflicts. He speaks of sacrifice for people. The sacrifice you go through to get the gospel across. The sacrifice of money. The sacrifice of time. The sacrifice of resources. The sacrifice of your pleasure. The sacrifice of your desires. Just to get the gospel across and to see souls established in the church and in the will of God. Are we together, church? So Paul calls that a fight. A fight. I said hallelujah. So the believer's authority, therefore, means to be fixated. To be what? The believer's authority in use implies that the man in Christ is unmoved, unperturbed, and undisturbed, unaffected, unshaken, and unremoved, constant, fixed, and fixated. Hallelujah. Never dominated, but what? Dominating. Never dominated upon, but what? Dominating. Never impacted, but what? Impacting. The believer's authority at work in the ministry of the gospel. Hallelujah. So he tells you something, church, that the fight is not a fight with people. The fight is a fight with the gospel. Or for the gospel. Let me put it that way. It's not a fight against people. As much as it is a fight against the wiles of the devil through people in order to limit the flow of the gospel. So it's a unique fight. And so there is a unique way to go about it. Hallelujah. It is not enough to know that there is a fight. It's also as important to realize how to walk with God. How to war with God. Hallelujah. How to war alongside with God. Glory to God forevermore. Again, we'll see that the fight is never a fight for yourself, but a fight for the gospel. We have said earlier that the fight is by taking a public stand with the gospel. The fight is by taking a public stand with the gospel. We look at how Paul threw words around, or throws words around, in 2 Corinthians for some insights. Are we together? In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, look at that. It says in verse 3, 2 Corinthians 10 verse 3, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of what? Of Christ." Hallelujah. He says the weapon of our warfare are not carnal. They are not carnal. The word carnal there is from the word sarkikos. Hallelujah. They are not of the flesh. Sarkikos. They are not fleshly. Now, critically, Paul was not saying that the weapons of our warfare is not guns. He didn't say that. Even though it will also imply that, but Paul was not referring to fleshly as physical conduct, physical items or armory. Are we together? Not fleshly refers to something spiritual. However, fleshly there refers to the spiritual of this age. So when he says the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God, they are not fleshly, means they are not of the flesh. It's not referring to physical items or maybe armor, tanks and guns and swords and all that, even though that will be included, but really it's referring to more of the works of the flesh. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, is referring to the works of the flesh. They are not of the flesh, because that's the word carnal, sarkikos. They are not of the flesh. The weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh. Look at this. The weapons of our warfare are not true jealousy, anger, hatred, greed, covetousness. Why? Because that is what we are fighting. We'll come back to that text. So it says the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. That means it is not a natural warfare, yes, but a spiritual warfare. You also observe that Paul was never found fighting witches. So, it's not really a fight against witches as per their person. Are we together? But it could be a fight against their works. Are we together? Are we together? Their works, which implies demonic activity, activities of Satan. Deception, sickness. Are we together? Deception, sickness, worldliness, witchcraft. Are we together? But don't forget that our warfare is not to destroy lives. We'll see that shortly. In 1 Corinthians 9 and then verse 7. Look at what Paul says. He says, who goeth a warfare at any time at his own? Who planted a vineyard and eateth not of the fruit thereof? Or who feedeth the flock and eateth not of the milk of the flock? Say I these things as a man, or saith not the Lord the same also? For it is written in the law of Moses, thou shalt not muzzle the mouth of an ox that treadeth out the corn. Doth God take care of oxen, or saith it altogether for our sakes? For our sakes, no doubt. It is written that he that ploweth shall plow in hope, and he that thresheth in hope shall be a partaker of what? Of his hope. Then he says in 11, if we have sown unto you spiritual things, is it a great thing that we should reap of your carnal things? Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. So when he says, who goeth to war there, is referring to the preaching of the gospel. So warfare there refers to the preaching of the gospel. In 1 Timothy chapter 1 and then in verse 18, we see again the word warfare used by Paul in talking to Timothy. This shall I commit unto thou son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before thee, that thou by them mayest wage a good warfare. Again, what is the good warfare? Look at verse 19. Holding faith and a good conscience, which some haven't put away concerning the faith, as well concerning the faith of what? Made a shipwreck. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Then it goes into chapter 2 and then verse 3 and 4. It says the preaching of the gospel. The preaching of the gospel. So the good warfare in 1 Timothy 1 and 18 again has to do with the preaching of the gospel. The preaching of the gospel. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and then in verse 14. Of these things put them in remembrance. Hallelujah. It says, charging them before the Lord that they strive not about words to no profit, but the subverting of the errors. Hallelujah. Verse 4, it says, no man that warreth. No man that warreth. Again, has to do with warfare. The word we're going to see shortly, the word stratioman. From the word stratios, from the word stratiotis. Hallelujah. Stratioman, 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 hallelujah, which speaks of a warfare. So it means to be hard with the gospel. To be hard on being hard, hallelujah, of the gospel. To be hard, H-A-R-D, on being hard, H-E-A-R-D, for the gospel. It means to take a stand, I've said that. To continue with the message of the gospel, day and night. Day and night, to continue. That fight, that strife, this warfare, this contention, this race, this contention, always has to do with the gospel being preached. Not the fight for some people or someone. The fight is the fight of the believer today. And the fight has to do with the gospel. The fight is a fight against oppositions to the gospel. The fight is a fight amidst. It's a fight against opposition to the gospel. It's a fight amidst persecution to the gospel. It's not a fight that is about me. Hallelujah. The word warfare, 2 Corinthians 10 verse 3. The weapons of our warfare. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. That word warfare is the word stratio. S-T-R-A-T-E-O. Stratio. Hallelujah. In 2 Thessalonians, activities of that strength. In 2 Thessalonians, chapter 3, verse 1 and verse 2. He says that the word of the Lord may have a free course and be glorified as it is with you, and thou may be delivered. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Here we see prayer. In Romans 15, in verse 30 and 31, he says that you strive together with me in your prayers to God. Again, he carries the function of the word contend, that I may be delivered. Again, we see prayers. We see in 2 Thessalonians, we see prayers. We see in Romans chapter 15, verse 30 and 31, again, we see prayers. But we observe that that prayer was accompanying an activity, evangelism. So in 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 1 and 2, we see prayers accompanying the preaching of the word, evangelism. In Romans chapter 15, in verse 30 and 31, again we see prayers accompanying the work of the preaching, evangelism. Hallelujah. So we see prayer and evangelism as part of the warfare's weapons of our warfare. Hallelujah. So the word weapon there does not refer to items, like I said, physical items. For example, you have a bottle of oil. Oh. Amen. It's the preaching of the word. The preaching of the word. Not referring to handkerchiefs. The weapons of our warfare refers to what? The preaching of the word. The preaching of the word. When we pray, prayer accompanies the preaching of the word. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Why is giving useful? Because the giving now accompanies the preaching of the word. Glory to God forevermore. I said glory to God forevermore. So it borders around the preaching of the word. Glory to God. I said glory to God. So it says the weapons of our warfare. The word aplon in the Greek. Aplon. H-A-P-L-O-N. Aplon. We see that word used by John. By Jesus in John. In John chapter 18. And then in verse 3. John chapter 18 and then in verse 3. It says, Judas then, having received a band of men and officers from the chief priests and Pharisees, cometh thither with lanterns and torches and weapons. So he said, weapons. Hallelujah. Weapons. John 18 verse 3. It's used for a literal army. A physical army. So Paul gives a counter narrative. He says, in this case, the weapons of our warfare is not physical. It's not physical. Hallelujah. Are we together? And it's not of the flesh. It's not physical because it is not of the flesh. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. The warfare again will be against desires. Personal. Will also be against desires. Affections that are pitched against the gospel. Are we together? Occultism. Wickedness. Drugs and addictions. Prostitution. Fornication. Are we together? Wanton living, wasteful living. Are we together? Worship of money, worship of wealth, idolatry, be it literal or figurative, idol worship. Whatsoever, Paul says, we're going to see that text, whatsoever is not submitted to the counsel of God. Noima, 2 Corinthians 10. Hallelujah. Every thought. It says we are bringing into captivity. It says whatsoever exhausts is the knowledge, the word gnosis, the explanation, what is found in God's word, become something to war against. Do I have your attention? Whatsoever is not submitted to the counsel of our God becomes what? It becomes a target. Whatsoever is not submitted does not reverence God, God's way. Is it a desire? Is it an habit? Is it an ideology? Is it a mode of worship? Is it an ideology? Are we together? That is not subject to the worship of God, God's way, becomes a target for what? Of our warfare. However, you see, it says it is not what? Physical, because it is not what? Fleshly. It doesn't mean we won't have physical methods. So you pay attention to what it's saying. Because there are activities to it. There are what? Activities. Desires, personal. Desires of others that pitch against the gospel. Are we together? What will this make me do? One of the first things it will make me to do is that it will make me to stop complaining. It makes me to take responsibility. Say, I take responsibility. You can either take responsibility or complain. You blame shift. Like many people are blame shifting the government. And the work is your work to do. The work of a change of the society is the work of the church. And the church raises families that does that. You take responsibility. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. So that when you see ideologies, when you see thought patterns, you see a way of reasoning, you see a mood of judgment and perception that pitches itself against a free flow of God's word in the community. You see a way of reasoning that hinders men from giving attention to the word of God and being fully engaged with the work of God on the earth. You have seen thought patterns. Are we together? To wage a war against. And vitally, we have seen two things: prayer and what? Evangelism. Prayer and what? Outreaches. Prayer and what? Evangelism. Why? Because evangelism is the putting out of the word. So thoughts and philosophies against the gospel. Also persecutions against the message and the messenger. Conducting oneself in the midst of trials and oppositions that came your way because of the preaching of the gospel. Conducting yourself amidst those in a way that you were not deterred. They were not able to stop you from getting involved in the activities of the gospel is also called a good fight. Hallelujah. It's also called what? A good fight. So Paul is not saying the weapons of our warfare are not physical items. That he's talking about fleshly traits. He says they are not carnal, they are not of the flesh. Not malice, not pride, not anger, not hatred, not jealousy, not fleshly conduct. Hallelujah. Now see something he says there. We should look at the activities of that strength. He says, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Hallelujah. He says, casting down imaginations. He says, they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Casting down imaginations. The word pulling down, hallelujah, is the word kataireses. Kataireses is spelled K-A-T-H-A-I-R-U-E-S-I-S. K-A-T-H-A-I-R-U-E-S-I-S. Kataireses. He speaks of a demolition. Two words. The word kata, word ireoman. Kata is spelled K-A-T-A, which means many times to split. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Then you have the word ireoman. A-I-H-R-U-E-O-M-A-I. A-I-H-R-U-E-O-M-A-I. From the word iro. Iro means to take up. Hallelujah. Or to take away. So when you have the word kata and the word iro, are we together? It means to smash away. So that is the word pulling down. So it's a military term. Today, look at what it looks like. It looks like going out and marking out an area where there are buildings and fixing explosives. Are we together? Are we together? So when you detonate it, what happens? Everything comes down. Everything comes down. Hallelujah. It says what? It says what? Pulling down. Amen. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty to God to the pulling down. That's what pulling down. Kataireses. That word pulling down was also seen in the four Gospels. Hallelujah. Look at 1 Corinthians 13 first, or 2 Corinthians 13. It says in verse 10, therefore I write these things being absent, lest being present I should use sharpness according to the power which the Lord had given me to edification, and not to what? That word destruction is the word kataresis. Destruction. Hallelujah. That was the same word used in Luke. I think that would be maybe Luke 16 or so. Not Luke 16. One of those parables. Hallelujah. Where the rich man had said, I will pull down my barn and rebuild. The parable of the rich fool, yes. Are we together? So it says, pulling down. Pulling down what? Pulling down what? Pulling down what? Strongholds. Let's look at those words. The word stronghold there is the word ochroma. In the Greek, it's spelled O-C-H-U-R-O-M-A. O-C-H-U-R-O-M-A. It's a word that is used just once for strongholds. That word ochroma is from the word echo, which is a verb, an action word. Echo, just like you have echo. But in this spell, it is E-C-H-O, echo. E-C-H-O, you know, is an action word, which implies to possess something. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. It means to do what? To possess something. It means to have a hold on something. Hallelujah. The word echo is used for castles and fortresses, fortifications. It says we are pulling down fortifications of the enemy. Hallelujah. We are pulling down fortifications of the enemy, power and might of the enemy. In chapter 10, you read for that. He says, the weapon of our warfare is not, he says, Kana, but mighty God, with the pulling down stronghold, casting down imaginations. Two words there. The word casting down, are we together? That word casting down, again, the word katerio. And the word katerio, we said, is the word what? Is similar to the word what? What word did I give you just now? So that word katario or katario is the same word. You don't have to be too smart to pick that up. It's the same word. That word pulling down strongholds is the same word that says casting down. The word kata and the word what? Irioma. The word irioma is from the word iro. And iro means to lift up. So katairio means to what? To bring down. Are we together? To pull down. To reduce to nothing. Are we together? In Luke 12, in that parable, it says, I will pull down my barn. In Luke 1 verse 52, Luke 1 verse 52. So this is what we do as we preach the gospel. Luke chapter 1 in verse 52. It says, he hath put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree. So the opposite of exalting is to what? To put down. So that put down is katario. To put down. Are we together? It was used in Mark 15 when Jesus' body was brought down to take something down. Mark 15 verse 36 to bring down, and verse 46. Also you see that in Luke chapter 23. Hallelujah. In verse 53 thereabout, where Jesus' body was brought down. In Acts 13 verse 19, Acts 13 verse 19, Katariu. He says, and when he had destroyed seven nations in the land of Canaan, he divided their land to them by lot. Destroyed. That word destroy is the word Katariu. In verse 29, he says, and when they had fulfilled all that was written of him, they took down him down from the tree and laid him in his sepulcher. Hallelujah. Again, was used for Jesus' body. In Acts 19:27, Acts 19:27, it says, so that not only this our craft is in danger to be set at naught, but also that the temple of the great goddess Diana should be despised, and her magnificence should be destroyed, whom all Asia and the world worshipeth. Destroyed. Katariu. Hallelujah. Which means to bring down. So it says casting down, pulling down strongholds, casting down imaginations. That word imaginations is the word logismos. Logismos is from the word logos or logic. Are we together? That means what is of logic, ideology, logismos. Just like you have the word pneumaticos. Sarkikos, you have suchekos, are we together? You have logismos. Logismos means what is of the mind. But this is an ideology. Devices, reasonings, arguments. It speaks of arguments. So it says arguments are the strongholds. In Romans chapter 2 and then verse 5. Romans 2 verse 5. It says, but after thy hardness and impertinent heart, treasurest up unto thyself war against the day of wrath and the revelation of the word of the righteous judgment of God. So I think that word judgment, logismos, hallelujah, which means an ideology. It's a product of thought. It also speaks of methodology. So he says the ideology in the mind of man is the stronghold that we are pulling down. True preaching. True faithfulness in preaching. Hallelujah. The ideologies. Casting down imaginations. Pulling down strongholds. Pulling down strongholds. That means something to you. It means that Satan has power in the minds of men. Or let me put it in a proper way. The power that Satan has on people, hallelujah, is in their minds. Are we together? The power, the strength that the enemy seems to exercise on lives is present where? In the minds of people. Oh, sure. It does also mean that salvation is by the way a man thinks, and can be hindered by the way a man thinks. It also means that, look at this. What sends people to hell is not even the devil. What sends people to hell is the way they think. Because it is the way that they think that hinders the gospel. 2 Corinthians 4. The God of this world has blinded their minds. So the involvement of Satan is in the fact that he is the one responsible for that opinion that puts aside the wisdom of God. But really, 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 what sends people to hell is the way they think. The way they think opposes to the gospel. Hallelujah. And that also means to the believer, what can help a believer to live a triumphant life in the new birth, hallelujah, is also the way he thinks. So God is in the business of changing the way people think. Are we together? Are we together? And so that is where our warfare comes in. So it can't be a warfare against witches. It can't be a warfare with physical items. It's a warfare against ideologies. How people think and what they think. How people think and why they think that way. Hallelujah. Becomes the target of the warfare. So we said preaching and what? Evangelism. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Pulling down strongholds. Casting down cateresis, imaginations, logismos. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Then what does it say next? It says casting down imaginations and what? Look into your Bibles, please. Casting down imaginations and what? And every high thing. So when it says and every high thing, that word every high thing is two words in the Greek. Hupa and soma. It's the word hupsoma. H-U-P-S-O-M-A. From the word hupso. H-U-P-S-O-O. From hupsos. From hupa. That word yupa has to do with something that is high. A height. Hallelujah. A height. He says a height that exalts itself. Epairo. Which means to lift something up. To lift self up. E-P-A-I-R-O. Epairo. The word epi and the word airo. I've showed you airo, right? From kataireses, right? Which means to lift up. So epi means upon. It means to build yourself upon something. So it says every high thing that seeks to build itself, exalt itself against the knowledge of God. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. So you see, the existence or the discovery, well, is okay. But the moment this thing wants to preach it as another thing in the place of God, it becomes a target. Because nothing really is worth worship in heaven and on earth, save our God. Hallelujah. You know, I said hallelujah. Nothing and no one is really worth what? Worship. In heaven and on earth. So, upsoma means to uphold. Hallelujah. Epairo means to exalt oneself. It says against, as an opposition. Against the knowledge of God. Gnosis. G-N-O-S-I-S. Against the knowledge of God. Gnosis talks about study, explanation, ideology, hallelujah, of God. He says, bringing into captivity, hallelujah, every thought, glory to God forevermore. Bringing into captivity. That phrase, bringing into captivity, is the word aichmalotizo. Aichmalotizo is spelled A-U-C-H, aichmalotizo. A-U-C-H-M-A-L-I-T-I Malotizo. That's L-O-T-I-Z-O. I'll take it again. A-U-C-H-M-A-L-O-T-I-Z-O. Ouch Malotizo. Pronounced that way. From the word Ouch Malotos. The word Ouch Malotizo is a verb. It's a verb word. Action word, which means to lead something away captive. So it says we are bringing into captivity to lead something captive, lead away captive. So that word ouch malotos is the noun of it, is used for what is captured. Hallelujah. To capture means to restrain. Are we together? It means to strip it of a power that it claims it has. So we are to strip ideologies of the power. Are we together? Are we together? By which it seeks to replace the God. Ideologies of science, ideologies of false religions, ideologies of false thinking, ideologies of atheism, ideologies of ecumenic, syncretic practices, materialistic practices, legalistic practices, ideologies that seeks to replace the worship of God by another idea. He says, we are going to bring it into captivity. The word Aichmalotos is in itself from the word halosis. H-A-L-O-S-I-S. Halosis. And halosis, interestingly, is taken away again from the word aireomai. A-I-H-R-E-O-M-A-I. Again from the word airo, which means to take up. To take up. So we take away, we lead away captive every thought. Hallelujah. The word thought, there's the word noema, N-O-E-M-A. Noema is used for mindset and perception. It says to the obedience of Christ. That word obedience, the word upakoe. And upakoe is used for submission. To heed something. To submit. It speaks of compliance. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So he says the weapon of our warfare accomplishes this. Accomplishes this. Warfare itself, the word stratia. I told you. Stratia is the word war. From the word stratuoma. S-T-R-A-T-E-U-O-M-A-I. Stratuoma. Which speaks of fighting or to fight. A verb. Stratia refers to a warfare, war. Stratiomai refers to what? The art of fighting. The word stratiomai is from stratia, S-T-R-A-T-I-A, stratia, which speaks of a band of soldiers. What we can call a host. A word that was used replete in the Old Testament books. Host. God himself was referred to as the Lord of hosts. The Lord of hosts. He speaks of a troop. Hallelujah. Troop. In Genesis 2 verse 1, it's used for the host of the heavens. Referring to the stars and the moons. Hallelujah. The stars, the host of heavens that God created. In Genesis 21 verse 22, and verse 32. And Genesis 32 and verse 2. It was used. God was called. I think it was Jacob who said, this is the host of the Lord. The host of God. Talking about that population of angelic beings perceived. Hallelujah. In Exodus chapter 12 verse 41. It was used for the host of the children of Israel. That followed Moses out of Egypt. In Numbers 2 verse 32 again. The host. By the time you check Numbers 32 in verse 2, it says, those that followed Moses out of Egypt, if we were to classify them by their family names, and by saying family names, it means clans, communities, which many times can even comprise hundreds of people, or even more, thousands of people. It says, if we were to group the children of Israel just by the head or the surname, or the appellation of their clans, he says they were up to 603,550. So again, that was the terminology used to describe millions of people at a time where the word million had not existed in counting. Are we together? At a time where the word millions has not existed, that's why you will not see the word million in the Bible, in the Old Testament. Are we together? Or in the Old Testament, you hardly see the word million, if you see it at all, maybe once or twice. Are we together? I don't even think so. Are we together? Because at those times, that word million had not come into a numeric value. Rather, you have thousands and then you have tens of thousands. And actually, it is to indicate what today we call millions and trillions and billions. Billions. Hallelujah. So that is what is called host. In Joshua 11 verse 4, he explained the host of Israel. He says they were as the sound of the seashore. In Exodus chapter 12, it was used for the host of what? Of, it's in verse 41. It was used for the host of Pharaoh. The army of Pharaoh that was drowned in the sea. In Exodus 15 verse 4. Exodus 15 verse 4. So that was stratia in the New Testament Greek, came from that ideology, the Old Testament. In other words, Paul is saying that in the New Testament, the Old Testament is actually in play. So he refers and he explains to the Old Testament. The Old Testament is being referenced. It's been explained and been applied. In explaining the authority of the believer in Christ today, the Old Testament is being referenced, the Old Testament is being explained, and is being applied. It says the weapon of our warfare, stratioman. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. The weapons of our warfare, times in the Greek, stratioman. Glory to God forevermore. In other words, is that as believers in Christ, we are at war with God. Together with God, alongside with God, against the forces of evil. What is the forces of evil? The forces that seeks to use wisdom or insight, natural or spiritual insight, to blindfold the hearts and the minds of men from giving heed to the worship of God in the gospel, through the gospel. We are at war with them. It could be desires of the heart. It could be desires and ideologies, patterns. It could be opposition to the message. It could be false teachings. But it says we are at war. Say we are at war. Night and day. So he says it is mighty through God. Mighty through God. The word mighty there is from the word dunatos. Dunatos. It means what is potent and what has power. What is potent and what has what? Power. It speaks of the power of God. It has power through God. It is a deploying of God's power. What have we seen earlier as the sight of God's power? The believer. By the indwelling of the Spirit, the man in Christ has become the sight of the demonstration of God's power and the source thereof. Of the demonstration of the power of God in all the earth. Hallelujah. So he says it is mighty through God. Dunatos theos. That means this might, this power is of God. It is by the potency of God. The weapons of our warfare are not fleshly. It is by the potency of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It is by the almightiness of God. It is by the character of God. It is by the divine supply of the nature and the character of the Father. Hallelujah. He says weapons are not carnal. That is, they are not human. They are not products of human or fleshly intellect. So just like the Old Testament, look at this, we are at war. Just like the Old Testament, our warfare is together with God. And just like the Old Testament, look at this. Look at what Paul said. He says the weapon of our warfare is mighty through God. That means God is in that warfare.
Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. That means God is in the what? Is in the warfare. So I said number one, just like the Old Testament, we are at war. Number two, just like the Old Testament, the warfare is together with God, on behalf of God, on behalf of Jehovah. And just like the Old Testament, Jehovah himself is found in the war with us. Hallelujah! Jehovah himself is found where? He's at the war front. Amen. Amen. He's at the war front. God himself is found in his warfare. He is the champion of his warfare. He is the supplier of his armor. He is the director and the guide of the motions of his hosts. So he says, you and I are the host of God. And God is in the war. Hallelujah. He says, be strong in the Lord and in the power, it is his might. He says, which according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ. He says he will grant you by his spirit to be strengthened with might. It's his might. His cous. Hallelujah. A supply of strength. Say, I am supplied of God. That's it. So just like the Old Testament, God is found in the war with us. And 2 Timothy 2 verse 5. He calls the soldier a good soldier of Christ. So Christ is in the war. So God himself, the God we serve, is a warrior. The God we serve is a what? Is a warrior. He's a warrior. He's a warrior. Are we together? He's a warrior. Are we together? Fully equipped. Say, I am fully equipped. Say, I am fully supplied. Say, I am adequately led. Say direction on sports. No miss targets. No inadequacies. The strength is the strength of God. The war is his war. Supply is his supply. The spirit of God. So God gave you his spirit so you can what? You can war with him. I want you to get angry this morning. What did I say? What did I say? God gave you his spirit for one sole purpose so that you can what? You can war with him. So there's no time for nonsense. Are we together? So he says, you will now be strong in that might. The might refers to the spirit. Your responsibility. We went through that text in summarizing Ephesians. We said that when he says be strong in the Lord, that also means be what? Be filled with the spirit. Isn't it? So it is my look at this. Just before outreaches, it becomes a responsibility to be filled with the Spirit.
in the midst of oppositions, threats. Hallelujah. Look at what it says. He says, and Paul waxed strong. It means to take hold of what has been supplied and put it on me. I put on that courage. I put on that freshness. When I put on the supply of God, His Spirit, what do I have? I've put on His mind. When I put on that supply, the Spirit, I've put on His wisdom. When I've put on that supply of the Spirit, I've put on courage. When I've put on that supply of the Spirit, by being filled with the Holy Ghost, engaging in the activities that get filled with the Holy Ghost, I've put on what? I've put on clarity. I put on courage. I put on audacity. I put on temerity. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. So God is in His war. God is in His war means nothing is out of control. Including the works of Satan. He said, pulling down strongholds. I know what happens when God is in control. When God is in control, do you know what happens? Did I tell you what happens? When God is in control, Satan is out, is under control. Satan is what? His wiles, his methods. When God is in control, Satan is under what? Under control. We are warriors together with God. Are we together? Look at me. It's therefore not a political war. It's not a financial warfare. It's not a political warfare. It's a spiritual warfare. Preaching the gospel. You're preaching the gospel. A good soldier of Christ. We said it means that Christ is in the war with us. Fighting against what? So Christ is in the war against my desires. My desires that wants to hinder the gospel. To do what? To put them under check. Is it clear? Is it clear? Christ is at war with me against the desires of this age. The desires of this world. The desires of this world. The worldliness of this age. To do what? To put them under control. To reduce them to a point of no effect against the gospel. Christ is at work in me, at war with me against oppositions. To do what? To strengthen me so I know how to conduct myself in the midst of what? Oppositions and challenges. And Christ is at work in me, at war with me against false ideologies. Both in the name of Christ, which are not Christ, or outside the name of Christ. Ideologies of science. Ideologies of false religions. Ideologies of atheism. Free thinking. Unfettered liberty. That does not honor God. Hallelujah. The weapons of my of our warfare are not of the flesh, not bitterness, not malice, not anger, not wrath, not jealousy. They are not from the flesh. They are not from the old man. They don't come from vengeance. They don't come from fear. They don't come from hatred. They don't come from retribution. They don't come from covetousness. But they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Hallelujah. So he's talking about preaching. The strength of God in preaching. The strength of God is sticking to God's plan for your life. He says you are strengthened. And you will now take that strength you put upon yourself. So what does that tell me, church? Pulling down strongholds. It means we are not pulling down people. We are not pulling down people. Rather, we are edifying people by pulling down strongholds. In 2 Corinthians 4, hallelujah, we see that. It says, when strongholds are pulled down, men are not destroyed. Men are edified. In 2 Corinthians, the text which you just saw, in 13 verse 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, and then in verse 10. Look at that text again. We'll close here. 2 Corinthians 13 verse 10. It says, therefore I write these things, being absent, lest being present I should use sharpness, according to the power which the Lord had given me to edification and not towards destruction. Hallelujah. Edification. So, the power is for edification. The pulling down is there for edification. When strongholds are pulled down, men are not destroyed. Men rather are edified. Our warfare, therefore, does not destroy men. Is that clear, church? Our warfare destroys desires, affections, destroys ungodly desires. Are we together? And puts in control all that desires that are not ungodly, but puts them in control such that they are not able to affect our serving the Lord. Our warfare builds men like the Old Testament. It does not destroy lives. So I said, just like the Old Testament, what do we do? We are at war. Just like the Old Testament, the warfare is together with God. And just like the Old Testament, God himself is found in the midst of our warfare. But unlike the Old Testament, men are not destroyed. Are we together? Are we together? Are we together? Men are not destroyed. It is God's work for the edification of men, the warfare. So Paul explains in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, before me I close. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, hallelujah. I said hallelujah. I want us all to read together. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, are we all there? Are we all there? 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and then in verse 3, I want us to read together. Want to go? He says, but by gospel we eat, it is he to them that are what? Lost. In whom the God of this world had blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious of Christ, the image of God, should shine on them. He says, for we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. So what do we say? Hallelujah. This is the blindfolding, suppose I hear, of man's heart to the gospel is called a stronghold. Hallelujah. The blindfolding of man's heart to the gospel It's called what? It's called what? Don't be distracted. It's called what? Strongholds. Hallelujah. He says we pull it down. Look at what it says there. If our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. Verse 5. For we preach not ourselves. We pull it down by preaching. Paul says. So in 2 Corinthians 4, again, don't forget, we said Paul severally was referring to the Genesis text. Hallelujah. Genesis 1, he says in 2 Corinthians 4, 6, for God who commanded light shine out of darkness has shone in our heart to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of the Son. Hallelujah. So when God said, let there be light in Genesis 1, verse 1 down to 3, it means that the Bible opens up without warfare. The Bible opens up without warfare. The warfare, therefore, listen carefully, is between light and darkness. Someone said light is relative. No, light is not relative. Light is God's light. Light is God's light. Paul said, the light of the what? Of the glorious gospel of Christ. So the warfare is between darkness and light. Light and darkness. The battle, therefore, is for the triumph of God's light. Are we together? The battle is for the what? The triumph of God's light. Is it clear? God's will is that light. The gospel is that light. The light of the glorious gospel of Christ. Triumphing. Say the gospel triumphs. Hallelujah. Say the gospel triumphs. The gospel triumphs. And that is the explanation of the wars and the warfare of the Old Testament. So Paul says our method is not of the flesh, but rather they are in God's possibilities, in Christ's possibilities, or possibilities in Christ. So what does he say in Ephesians 6? He says to be strong in the Lord. Say, I'm strong. He says to be strong. To be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. So as we study on, we're going to see how. With 2 Thessalonians 3, 1 and 2, we see prayer, we see evangelism. Romans 15, verse 30 and 31, we see prayer, we see evangelism. Romans 12, 11 also, it says in verse 12, being instant. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. I said hallelujah. He says being instant, continuing instant in prayer. Romans 12, verse 12. A warfare time to be battle ready, he says in prayer. Preaching and prayer. And what else do we see? We see faithfulness and courage. In Ephesians 6, he says to watch. To watch. In Romans 15, it says to contend together with me. To strive together with me. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. And all of this is a function of you and I putting upon ourselves that strength of God. That supply of the Spirit. That supply of the Spirit. In the place of prayer. In the place of evangelism. And faithfulness in the same. Doggedness in the same, persistency and consistency in the same. He says the war is the war of God Himself, and Christ is in the war. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. I said hallelujah. I said hallelujah. So Christ is in the warfare. Christ is where? In the warfare. He's in the warfare. Hallelujah. He's in the warfare. He's at work in me. He's at work in me. To put my desires to check. Are we together? So no desire should go out of hand. That would be insanity. No desire should go out of what? When has it gone out of hand? The moment it is resulting in you not serving the Lord again. It's resulting in you in not being submissive in the local church. Resulting in you in not preaching the gospel. It's resulting in you in not serving in the local assembly again. And that's why it's going out of hand. So no desire should go out of hand. Are we together? Are we together? Number two, no ideology should unsettle you. No ideology. No ideology. Just the moment you do the check, does it submit to Bible teaching, the worship of God, as explained in and by the gospel? If you say no, immediately, it shouldn't unsettle you. You address yourself and address it. Thirdly, no opposition puts you off. No opposition should put you off. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. No opposition should what? Put you off. No amount of challenges, oppositions, unfavorable times should put you off. Should offset you. Hallelujah. And lastly, your attitude to false teachings. Be resolute and informed. You have an informed attitude to false teachings and false teachers. To put out the word more. To put out the word more. So as I put my desires in check, hallelujah, and I put the gospel out, and I overcome voices of false teachings, and I offset desires and ideologies of this world that are holding men down, what am I doing? I am demonstrating the believer's authority. Is that clear, church? Is that clear, church? I take it again. As I put my desires in check, are we together? Number two, as I do what? I conduct myself properly in faithfulness amidst oppositions, persecutions and trials, unfavorable moments, challenges. Thirdly, as I do what? I offset ideologies of this world, vain philosophies that seeks to explain another mode of worshiping God, or seeks to even put aside the worship of God entirely by the preaching of God's word. I remove those influences on people's minds. And lastly, as I put check, are we together? False teachings. What am I doing? I am demonstrating the believer's authority. Are we together, church? Are we together, church? Let's go on our feet, church. Exactly 2 hours. Let's just pray the Holy Ghost. Wake that brother up. Pray in the Holy Ghost, pray in the Holy Ghost, just pray in the Holy Ghost. Just pray in the Holy Ghost.
put his desires in check. I preach the gospel amidst oppositions, contrary voices, contrary feelings, unfavorable times. I preach the gospel still amidst the various nuances, persuasions that I found out in the world. I preach the gospel. Stopping the mount of false teachings. I flow in what is mine in Christ. So a vital part of your authority of Christ is your attention. So pray about your attention. My attention is kept. 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 And I become instrumental in helping others keep their attention. Others in the church, and as many more that will join the church. I keep my attention, and I'm instrumental in helping others keep their attention. Others in the church, and as many as we yet join the house of the Lord. Lift up your hand this afternoon as we close. Just give him praise. Sing in the spirit. Go ahead and sing in the spirit.